think today is today. We actually have 3 families, 10 individuals that we will be welcoming today in after service. So it'll be later on this afternoon. So directly after service, we will be setting up. Of course, the more hands we have, the lighter work is. And so if you are available to help us set up, we will love to invite you to come and help us do that and be a part of Family Promise. We're also still looking for volunteers, some overnight, some evening hosts, some day hosts for Saturday as well. So if you have a few hours that you can spend with these families, please consider volunteering. If you have any questions about volunteering, come and ask me. I'll be much more than happy to talk to you about it. So thank you so much. It's going to be a wonderful week. I just know it. So thank you, guys.
And it gives Gary a chance to be away, and we're all grateful that he gets a vacation, because he Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Seeking reconciliation with God and neighbor, let us remember the gift of baptism and confess our sin. God of mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you, against one another, and against the earth entrusted to our care. We are worried and distracted by many things, and we fail to love you above all else. We store up treasures for ourselves and turn away from our neighbors in need. Forgive us that we may live in the freedom of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. When we were laid low by sin and guilt, God made us alive together with Christ, forgiving us all our trespasses by taking our sins to the cross. In love, Christ has set us free. Rejoice in this good news. Amen.
Gather us, slaves, on our knees.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, your mercy delights us, and the world longs for your loving care. Hear the cries of everyone in need, and turn our hearts to love our neighbors with the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and I invite the children to come forward. I hear a few of you. Come join me. Good morning, guys. You want to come have a seat? Yeah, that's good. Right there on the steps. Oh, and it's all ladies here today. That's exciting. I certainly am glad to see you here this morning. My name is Pastor Mary, and I'm just visiting with you guys today. And thank you so much for letting me come and spend some time with you. It's a joy to be here. So I serve South Carolina Lutheran Retreat Centers, which sounds like a really long name to basically get to say I enjoy playing outside. Okay. I like to play outside. I like to have some fun. I like to enjoy playing outside. I think it's beautiful to get to spend a nice afternoon with nothing to do but to play outside. Tell me, what what's your favorite thing to do outside? When you can, if like you're at a playground or something, you get super excited, you run straight for the swings. Yeah, that's good. Awesome. Come on up. We're talking about our favorite things to do outside. What do you guys like to do outside? You like to run? You probably like to pick things up and put it in your mouth, like dirt and tree leaves and anything else you can find. What do you like to do outside?
My puppy outside, my big brother.
That is the best when you get to play outside with other people and with animals. So, Pastor Mary, I have two cats and I have three goats. Lolly, Lulu, and Leroy. And we love to play outside.
I got six cats.
Oh my goodness. I bet you enjoy playing with them too, don't you?
Yes. I love kittens and cats.
Oh, so cute, so cute. Well, we believe that God created all of this, that creation is the gift, and that we get to enjoy it, and we get to take care of it. I bet you have to make sure the cats have plenty of food and water and have the things that they need. And one way that we care for creation as Lutherans is we build these beautiful camps where other kids, other adults, other seniors get to come and play outside. And one way you can support those camps is to pray for them. So let's do that now. Let's say a little prayer together. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for camp. Help everyone who visits to see you in the beauty of creation. Give us strength to turn off the TV and to go out and play. In your name we pray and play. Amen. Amen. Thanks for coming. You can go back to your seats. And if you want to take some of this information about camp and use that to pray for those people and enjoy looking at those pictures, I invite you to do so. Here you go. There you are. Thank you so much for coming.
First lesson is a reading from Deuteronomy. And the Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all your undertakings, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your soil. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, just as he delighted in prospering your ancestors, when you obey the Lord your God by observing his commandments and decrees that are written in this book of the law, because you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you should say, "Who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?" Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, "Who will cross to the other side of the sea for us and get it for us so that we may hear it and observe it?" No, the word is very dear to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. The word of the Lord. A reading from Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit amongst yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Ephesus, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will and in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The word of the Lord.
According to St. Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise the Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him. And when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these three do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. A local attorney stands before Jesus and asks, what must I do to inherit eternal life? It's a big question. To many people of faith, it's the most important question of all. What must I do to inherit eternal life? It's such a fundamental question that you might expect a famous traveling rabbi to have a pat answer at the ready. But instead of a well-honed response that ticks down the requirements for heaven, instead of handing the attorney a tract that outlines the 12 easy steps to inheriting eternal life, Jesus turns his gaze on the lawyer and asks two questions of his own. What is written in the law? Tell me, what do you read there? Immediately, the encounter changes. Now the lawyer's on the spot. Suddenly, he's being the one tested. You can imagine the attorney pausing, mentally rifling through all the verses that he had committed to heart. Someone has suggested perhaps he flashes back to all those nights when he smuggled scrolls of the law under his blankets to read by flashlight. Maybe he thinks back to his mother or a grandmother or faithful Sabbath school teacher. I got it. Love God. Love your neighbor. Good answer, says Jesus. Love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. Good job. A+. You get an A. Love in this way, says Christ, and you shall really live. This could be the end of the story. The lawyer answers well, gets a pat on the head. Jesus sends him forth to live a life worthy of devoting to loving both God and neighbor. But this is not the end. Neither for the attorney nor for us. Truly, the most demanding journey is the hike from right answer to right action. Let me say that again, especially for all you confirmation rock stars, you Sunday school perfect attenders, you catechistical geniuses out there. The most demanding journey is the hike. Can y'all hear me? I feel like I'm going in and out, but is it all right? Okay, I don't want to bother anybody's hearing aid or anything. But the most demanding journey is from the hike from right answer to right action. The hike from right answer to right action. And I think that's why the lawyer suddenly becomes so anxious. Do this and you shall live. Hold on. Do it? Love God and neighbor? Wait just one billable minute. How big of a job is that going to be? This could get tricky. This could get dangerous. It could take over my whole life. Love God and neighbor? I need a little more clarification here, Jesus. Help me out with the loophole. Tell me, Jesus, who counts? Just who is my neighbor? And how does Jesus respond? With a little story. Jesus tells a story. Just for fun, let's think about it in today's terms. An Iraqi citizen was out for a walk in the Middle East just recently. He was held at gunpoint and beaten. An American missionary approaches, first in her class at seminary, maybe even a Lutheran one. Her eyes spot the bloodied and bruised man. But without her latex gloves, she chooses not to see him and continues on her business. An American soldier walks by. He certainly has seen enough blood. But what could he do anyway? He might be an enemy. It doesn't make sense to just fix him up today to possibly shoot him tomorrow. And then a loving member of Al-Qaeda, a compassionate captain of Hitler's secret service, a joyful drummer from Marilyn Manson, a good Samaritan, sees the wounded traveler, is moved with pity, and does all that he can to help. Jesus' gotcha has a lot more punch when we realize that the folks that we would expect to know and act in love refuse to help. But the one we least expect, they show love. The traditional neighbors are not neighborly, while the outsider, the foreigner, proves to be the loving neighbor. I'm sure you've seen this as many times as I have. Plenty of examples out there. The atheist who cuts an elderly person's yard whose Christian children haven't visited her in years. The agnostic facilitating reconciliation while a Christian would rather continue bickering. And here we are as Christians claiming to be experts on love when at times we don't even speak with each other. Today, each one of us can hear this story as condemnation, as personally convicting us as ones who do not love their neighbors. After all, let's just look at our physical neighbors, your physical neighbors here at Redeemer. You got IGA on one side, you got a neighborhood growing behind you, the strip mall over here. What do we do to try to serve them, the IGA employees, to love them? Or look a little closer in your pew. Who is there? And who isn't? I bet if we sat real quietly now, we can hear plenty of cars traveling up and down St. Andrews here. Some of them never knowing an invitation to join a family of faith. There is no shortage of neighbors, friends. In the community, there are many in need. Like I said, we can hear this story as personally condemning. While we do plenty of acts of love and mercy, there are plenty of other things that we can pat ourselves on the back. There are still lots more opportunities for improvement. Of all the times we've claimed to be experts on love and have passed by others in need, and in need of breakfast, in need of hope, in need of forgiveness, in need of a helping hand, in need of a coat, in need of school supplies. I think I heard something about that. In need of advocacy. We can and must confess. But here are some words that are good news. You and I can also hear words of hope. I often wonder who fascinates me the most in this story, the people that walk by or the one who stops to help. But when I think about it, the one who fascinates me the most is the one telling the story. Thomas Long puts it this way. The question is not the lawyer's, what's the definition of neighbor? The question is really, who has been neighbor to you? Jesus Christ has been neighbor to you. The crucified one has been neighbor to you. Each and every one of us is the one in the ditch. Sometimes it's easy to see us as the ones who are the helpers or the guilty ones walking by. But I would encourage you to think of each and every one of us as the one in the ditch who have been beaten up by sin, death, and the devil. And yet God has chosen to see us, to see you, and to be moved with such compassion. God sees us in the ditch and has compassion, and in Christ has come to save us. None of us can be good Samaritans by our own strength. But thanks be to God, God loved us first. God has poured out abundant compassion so that we can be free to share that compassion with others. God binds up your wounds. Puts healing salve on your spirit, places you in a community that cares. God has rescued you so that you might go and help others. Jesus says to the lawyer, who proved to be the neighbor in the story, he replies, the one who showed him mercy. Mercy. Dear friends, Almighty God is the one who showers us with mercy, with love, forgiveness, with strength and nourishment. But the story is still not over. Jesus says, go. Go. Go and do likewise. Thanks do indeed belong to our God. Amen. are bold to profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed found printed in your bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. For the Church Universal, its ministry, and the mission of the gospel. Lord, in your mercy, for the well-being of creation, Lord, in your mercy, for peace and justice in the world, the nations and those in authority, for this community, Lord, in your mercy, for the poor, oppressed, sick, bereaved, lonely. Lord, in your mercy, for all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, especially those we name aloud on our lips or in our hearts. For Clyde, for Ted, for Fran. Lord, in your mercy, for this congregation and special concerns we lift before you. For those suffering the effects of storms and flooding. Lord, in your mercy, for those who have died, that their lives are a witness and inspiration to us. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Peace with you. Peace, Lord, be with you. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, for the greening earth given for all, for the talents we are given to share, and for this bread and wine. Transform us to be the body of Christ, that feasting on this food and drink, our lives may reflect your generosity through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty, and our joy that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. This is the body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you. the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. O God, in this holy communion, you have welcomed us into your presence, nourished us with words of mercy, and fed us at your table. Amid the cares of this life, strengthen us to love you with our whole heart, serve our neighbors with a willing spirit, and honor the earth you have made. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.